You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon, and with two Monday Night Games, we're on the deuce today.
Come on. That sounds like an opportunity for Phil and Frank. Perfect timing. Two games. You get to hang with me.
You're not one worthy. You're not mothership worthy. You're only deuce worthy. Huh?
I don't make these calls.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see how it works out.
We'll see. We got plenty of time to see how it works out. A lot of football on this network. Welcome to PTI. Tony is off to observe Yom Kippur, so I am joined by our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola. Oh.
Frankie!
Ooh, wow.
Still in deuce. Let's start with the Dolphins putting 70 on the Broncos in Miami. That's 10 touchdowns, 726 yards, and a beatdown that Denver coach Sean Payton called embarrassing and tough to watch. He added, quote, "I'm at a loss for words. Every once in a while in the NFL, you get your butt kicked, but this was different," close quote. Frank, you more interested in the Dolphins end of this thing or the Broncos?
It's shocking how bad the Broncos are, especially defensively. But come on, Mike, we don't see this. That's the most points scored in an NFL game since 1966. You know, you see those kind of 70 points, 700 yards. You see that in a college football season when one of the big schools is playing some little school, right, and they beat up on them early in the season.
Money game.
You don't see this in the NFL. And right away I thought about Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, you know, the greatest show on turf, what they were able to do. That's more than 20 years ago. And they went on to win the Super Bowl. And then I think about Patrick Mahomes, his first year with Kansas City, how good they were offensively. Now, they got knocked out in the AFC Championship game because of a stupid offsides call. But this offense has a chance to be that good.
And they didn't have Jaylen Waddle yesterday.
And think about this, Mike. Tua last year at this time, we were talking about the concussions that he had and injuries. Think about how this guy has played early on in the season. He's looked like the best player in a league that includes Patrick Mahomes, and they've looked like the best team. You don't score 70 points in an NFL game. What they did yesterday, that was stunning.
Well, he did completed 17 consecutive passes, 16 in the first half, came back and completed his first one. 23 of 26, sounds like a Bill Walton Final Four line, for 309 yards and four touchdowns. He was flawless.
Yep.
And I don't know which one. My first thought is, okay, let's praise Miami. By the way, I was at a Miami Dolphins playoff game, Jimmy Johnson and Dan Marino, if I'm not mistaken, when Jacksonville hung 60 on them. I was at that game. So Miami has been on the wrong end and now the right end of this. But I'm going to go to Denver for a second, because Sean Payton and his junior Bill Parcells act are wearing thin.
Yep.
Right? I'm a new sheriff in town sort of thing. And at first he's going to put all the pressure on Russell Wilson, who's been good and bad, up and down. Payton's just been down, because that defense is non-existent. No. By the way, how about this? I get to go and see Denver at the Bears next weekend.
You're Denver's about, favorite,
we'll
by the way.
We get to the Bears.
2.5.
That's frightening. But the what's the deal with Denver? Sean Payton. How long is this going to go over well in Denver? We're the number one team there. I know that another team won the NBA championship. You know this is the Broncos.
Yep.
People care most about the Broncos. How are they going to put up with this?
And you think about the history of that team. So you sound like you're going back to being a columnist for the Washington Post. Because how about Mark Kisla of the Denver Post?
Ooh.
This is like old school newspaper column when he said about Sean Payton. His weak Bill Parcells imitation won't cut it, because nobody cares how a tough coach acts if he can't deliver victory.
That's not a hot take, boys and girls. That's a real take.
Yep.
And he's right about Sean Payton.
And by the way, you mentioned the 10 touchdowns. Second half, Miami was running the ball. So not only that Miami could throw the ball with Tyreek Hill, like you mentioned, Waddle will eventually be back, they could also run the ball as well. And we're not talking Heat culture or Messi when we talk Miami. We're actually talking about the Dolphins. How about that? They get Buffalo, by the way, Sunday, 1 o'clock game. All right, let's move to yesterday's other big surprise, the 0-2 Cardinals. taking down the 2-0 Cowboys. This was interesting. Dallas's vaunted defense gave up 28 points to Arizona after giving up just 10 across its first two games. And before you blame the ACL injury to Cowboys corner Trayvon Diggs, consider that the Cardinals ran for 222 yards and two scores at a clip of 7.5 yards per carry. So, Mike, how concerned should the Cowboys be?
They should be real concerned. And it's not that they lost. They weren't going undefeated. They weren't going 15-1. Their defense is not the 85 Bears defense. And people ought to be embarrassed to make such a stupid analogy. Now, the Cowboys should be concerned and maybe even embarrassed because they took body shots.
Yes.
From a team that is not even supposed to be that good. From a team people had written in, oh, Caleb Williams is going to go there because they're going to choose first. They went two fists at the Cowboys' torso and beat them up inside and inside the tackles, ran on them, blocked them. How about the push against the Cowboy defense that just backed them up? So they're supposed to be the 85 Bears defense. That never happened to 84, 5, or 6 to the Bears defense. The Cowboys, as usual, overstated and overrated.
Yeah. They were missing three offensive linemen, but the problem was defense, like you mentioned. And without Diggs, he can cover man-to-man. So now you're thinking they got to find a way to stop the run. The Cardinals had 182 yards rushing in the first half alone. I mean, come on. Two things. And I think Mike McCarthy, first two games of the year, now they have won the New Jersey State Championship. We'll give him credit for that.
That may not be impressive at all by the time we get to October 1st.
But how about the decision in the third quarter to go for a fourth down? The play is you got to kick the field goal right there. What is it? I don't know what Mike McCarthy's doing. And then late, or in the fourth quarter, I should say, this is what concerns me. Dak Prescott, in that situation, first of all, he should run a lot more when he's close to the goal line. That interception that he had in the end zone, I start thinking this could be the Cowboys come playoff time. When they need the quarterback, who we know is good enough, but in moments like that, when they need him to make a play,
that's a bad interception, as
a guy, especially of his stature, how many years he's been in the league, you cannot make that interception.
But you know what? You start thinking about the Cowboys, and again, everybody wants to assess their regular season. That's not what we need to assess about the Cowboys. And so we need to look at some telltale signs. I mean, what do we look at and say, aha, there's a warning here. And you may have raised it. I hadn't thought about that with Dak Prescott and the end zone things. He doesn't give himself enough options to be as talented as he is, which I think is your larger point. But the Cowboys got beat up. We weren't expecting that after the first 2 weeks. And what it reminds us is we know as we get to the Jets, they're not any good. Yeah. And maybe the Giants aren't either, despite that comeback against the Cardinals.
And let's give Josh Dobbs a little credit here.
Josh Dobbs.
The guy completed 81% of his passes. There's probably a couple of teams that could probably use a guy like Josh Dobbs.
You know, maybe them. Maybe
I know two teams.
And as long as we're going in that direction, which is straight south,
yeah.
The Bears and Jets both already faced plenty of questions heading into the weekend and answered none of them coming out of the weekend. The Bears got just popped by the Chiefs in Kansas City, and the Jets lost at home to the Patriots. Quarterbacks Justin Fields and Zach Wilson both looked far from the first-round choices they were. Frank, who should feel the worst about their state, the state of their team, the Bears or the Jets?
I think it's the Jets because with all the hype surrounding Aaron Rodgers, maybe you didn't hear Aaron Rodgers in New York. He was on Hard Knocks. He was going to save the season. Four plays into the season, it's all over. And they don't really have a suitable backup. I thought Zach Wilson against Buffalo was okay. They won the game. I thought against Dallas, it really wasn't his fault. The defense, like we hear, they think they're the 85 Bears. You know, Dallas ran all over them. But this week, just not good enough. And on that fourth down play late in the game when they got the ball back and you're throwing it 2 yards to the tight end, plays you can't make. He's completing 52% of his passes. That's 32nd in the NFL. That's all the way at the bottom. Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets, within the last few hours, I don't know if it's double down, triple down. He said he's our guy. He's our unquestioned quarterback.
He's got to say that.
There's a
he's
lot of questions right guy. Now. But how do you, if you're the Jets at this point and you hear the rumblings after the game from the players, there's a lot of frustration.
Yeah.
How do you not at least go out and think about bringing somebody in?
You could be in mutiny territory. Look.
By the way, they get the Chiefs on Sunday night.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, the Bears had them yesterday.
Yeah.
How'd that go? The Bears are in worse shape. I'm going to tell you why. At least the Jets have a defense.
Yeah.
They do have that.
Yep.
The Bears have nothing. They have an offense which is the worst in the league. I'm not going to get into statistics, statistically what might be worth. I don't care. the eye test. And I've sat in person and watched them and on TV and watched them. The Bears have the worst offense in the league. They have the worst defense in the league. They have a coaching problem, as Justin Fields said, and they have a Justin Fields problem, as Justin Fields said, because there are people open. And I have watched games with Hall of Famers who used to wear that jersey, and they can point out in real time, as they have to me, this guy's open, that guy's open. DJ Moore has to be frustrated because he's open. He holds on to the ball too long. Frank, they have no defensive coordinator, and the head coach who's a defensive guy and the owner has to stop hiring the coach because he's ill-equipped to do it. He's picked the wrong one for the fourth or fifth time. I've lost count since getting rid of Lovie Smith, who was 10-6, and the Bears haven't gotten the right coach since. So the Bears are in worse shape, okay? And I'm already looking at yesterday I just said to my son as we sat there almost sobbing, are we in the Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Shedeur Sanders sweepstakes?
100%.
Could we go one back-to-back like Jacksonville did a few years ago?
I thought you were going to say when you turned to your son, you asked him, can you play quarterback? And that's a big problem. And listen, everyone likes Justin Fields, but it seems like everyone wants to make excuses for him. He should run more. Well, they ran last year.
He ran yesterday.
He's not the reason that they've lost 11 straight games and him starting. But is he part of the solution?
And the GM.
He just might not be good
enough. Maybe the choices that we praised to death all offseason weren't any good from Ryan Poles. There's plenty of blame to spread there. And they don't have a defense like the Jets.
Every team is forcing him to pass. So they're going to try to stop the run. And when they do, he stands back there. He's got way too much time. He's not accurate enough. And he stands in the pocket and ends up getting sacked.
The offensive line's dreadful, too. And they were supposed, that was the number one goal upgrade, the number one agenda.
The Broncos are 2.5-point favorites.
Broncos at Bears. Broncos favored after giving up 70.
70.
Tells you how bad the Bears are.
Yep.
We need to take a break. I'm depressed. Coming up, how significantly does Notre Dame deserve to be downgraded after his loss to Ohio State?
That was a great game. And should we focus on Colorado's first loss or how good Oregon looked in beating the Buffs?
This is how bad the weekend was for me. Notre Dame and the Cowboys lost, and I'm still not happy.
Notre Dame should have won that game.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to find out what's vibing with the viewers. I'm going to get the first one, Frank.
All right.
I need you the first one.
Mail
we'll see what's vibing. How much should we downgrade Notre Dame for losing by an inch in the final second?
I'll tell you what, for Ohio State, that was a great win. That quarterback, Kyle McCord, on that drive, 4-for-7, fourth and seven converted. Then he converted 3rd and 19. But on this play right here, Marcus Freeman and the Notre Dame coaching staff, they had 10 players on the field.
Twice.
The only thing worse was the play before the only had 10.
10 men twice.
And his explanation after the game, I felt bad for him. He knew they messed up. He said, I didn't want to call timeout. I didn't want to give them a free play. They would have moved the ball 6 inches.
Yeah.
What a mistake. That game was right there for Notre Dame.
It was.
And I'll tell you, for Ohio State and Colin McCord, there were times where I'm thinking he's not going to be able to do it.
Right.
That was a terrific, gutty performance by him.
It was. It was. It was an entertaining game. It got like the highest viewership of any game NBC's had, which means Notre Dame, in like 30 plus years. But let me go straight to Ryan Day. who runs a hell of a program, has a hell of a team all the time, but then acted like a jerk.
Totally.
Because
agree.
Of something Lou Holtz
totally
said. What? Come on, dude. If your team is that good and you're that proud of them, what do you care what Lou Holtz said? I mean, it's just dumb. And he just acted like, I'm sorry, a moron.
Yeah.
And you just win this big game.
100%.
You win this game 100%. In Notre Dame. By the way, Notre Dame, don't ever wear the green uniforms. That's not what you do. This is not a basketball game.
It
wear your blue and your gold. You wear you're Notre Dame. Act like you've been there before. And so, but Ryan Day, I wonder, Frank, is this because he actually knows his team is not that good? Because I don't think they're that good. Nobody in the Big Ten is that good, and Ohio State's not that good either.
Yeah. So Lou Holtz Maybe goes on USC. Pat McAfee's show and says they're not physical enough, they're not tough enough. They win the game. To your point, he doesn't talk about his quarterback. He doesn't talk about his defense. You're talking about a guy who used to coach Notre Dame.
Right.
Why are you so worried about what Lou Holtz is saying?
Lou Holtz is supposed to do just what Lou Holtz did. And Ryan Day, come on. This is Yahoo sort of acting out of him. This happens a little bit too often, Frank, for a guy who's supposed to steward an important program in this country like Ohio
State. He's a terrific coach. It's
terrific
a great
coach.
Program.
Terrific
with the Ohio against
Stop.
The law. No, it's not. No,
Stop
it's
not. It.
Next letter.
Let me read this one.
I'm going to read this
All right, you read that one. Go ahead.
You want to read this
I'll one? Read it. No wonder. were you more impressed with Oregon or disappointed in the way that Colorado played?
Okay, Colorado was a no post, right? I mean, Colorado just didn't matter. That game was over. They got smoked. So I'm going to go straight. And I know Colorado's the story of the season. Deion, Shador, they're the story. Not Saturday, they weren't. You can't look at Bo Nix and that Oregon team, Frank. First of all, I'm looking at them the whole game going, why are they like 11 or 10 or whatever they were good. Coming into the game? They were only elevated to about 9. They play USC. It's not till November 11th, so we got a little ways to go. But I'm sorry, what did Bo Nix do or not do? They shouldn't have his name in conversation with the other great quarterbacks. And by great quarterbacks, I mean Caleb Williams and Shador Sanders right now.
Yeah, I read the wrong email. It's which result did you think was more significant? And you said
Oregon.
I'll tell you what, though. Florida State winning at Clemson was impressive. Now, they weren't that impressive a few weeks earlier when they won at Boston College. Everyone's writing off Nick Saban because they lose to Texas. He's done. They beat Ole Miss, Northwestern. Good comeback by them.
Overtime.
Very,
nice
very
win
good
against
win.
Minnesota
but
at home.
Oregon, everything that went into that game. How about the head coach, the things that he said in the pregame? He's trying to have a problem. He's trying to fire his team up. And for Colorado and Deion Sanders, let's put in perspective here. They went 1-11 last year. They won their first 3 games. Give the team a chance here. They were so outclassed by Oregon. They got beaten in every way
imaginable.
And
this is a rebuilding number for Colorado.
The right
we forgot
way.
About that
yep.
because of the way they won those 3
and
games.
Guess what's going to happen to Colorado? If somehow, some way, they pull off an upset and they beat USC, everyone will be right back on the Deion Sanders Colorado bandwagon. Not going to be easy.
That quick. It's going to be tough.
But if they win that game, then they're back in the Pac-12
we've
conference
barely
championship
mentioned,
game.
We barely mentioned Caleb Williams this season.
Yeah.
Because of what's been going on in Colorado, rightfully so. Caleb Williams having another Heisman-level season. Right now, he is.
Bo Nix, 4 touchdown passes.
Bo Nix was great.
Oregon Nobody had over 500 total yards in that game. Not Miami Dolphin numbers, but still pretty impressive.
Thanks for your email. Let's take one last break. But still to come, the Rangers are suddenly hot.
And the Browns and the Bills put up 2 big wins on Sunday. Miles Garrett was dominant.
Yeah, he was. Commanders, not so much. Commanders had a Hall of Famer at their game.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 90th birthday, UB Brown, ESPN analyst, member of the basketball and college basketball halls of fame, butt of silly Kornheiser age jokes for decades, and for many years a great professional head coach. UB won an ABA championship in his first season coaching the Kentucky Colonels, a team that featured Hall of Fame players Louis Dampier, Dan Issel, and Artis Gilmore. And while UB went on to coach the Hawks, Knicks, and Grizzlies in the post-merger NBA, he called the Colonels the best team he ever led. After winning the title, Colonels owner John Y. Brown became governor, right? Even offered the NBA champion Warriors $1 million to play a world title game. But the Warriors refused, Frank.
I was waiting for in our league or in the painted area.
I know, in the painted area.
No, UB, you talk about earning your stripes. He coached three different high school teams before he moved into college. And by the way, he was a coach of the year with the Hawks and then all the way in 2004 with the Memphis Grizzlies, won it twice.
The best storyteller, maybe,
yeah,
of all time in all sports,
yeah,
UB Brown. You want to be sitting around a campfire in a hotel in the winter after a great NBA game,
yeah,
with Coach Brown, and I'm sure I'll be doing that soon enough. Happy anniversary, Ricky Henderson, on this day 38 years ago. The legendary leadoff hitter and base runner set the Yankees franchise record with his 75th steal of the season, surpassing the total set previously by Fritz Maisel back in 1914. Ricky finished that season with 80. The next year, he broke that record with 87 and then topped that 2 years later with 93, still the top three marks in Yankees history. Yet, Frank, that doesn't come close to what Ricky did in 1982. With the A's when he stole 130 bases, a major league record that still stands and may stand forever.
For my money, the best leadoff hitter in the history of the game.
No question.
How about this year, though? Ronald Acuna Jr. of the Atlanta Braves, 68 steals, 40
was the home
runs.
I don't know that Ricky got more than, what, 35?
Yeah. 35, I mean, he's got a chance to be a 40. He's probably going to be a 40-70 guy. It's crazy.
We're old enough. Neither one of us is going to say he's better than Ricky Henderson. Not yet.
No. But, Mike, it used to be
we used to
think that 30-30 and then 40-40 was
the standard.
This guy's going to be 40-70.
He's
MVP. Crazy.
MVP.
Yeah.
Happy trails to all three games against the Rangers for the Mariners. Seattle entered this weekend series tied with the Rangers for second in the AL West, a half game behind the Astros. But Texas took all three games from Seattle, including Sunday's, in which Marcus Semien hit a long drive to center that bounced off the heel of Julio Rodriguez's glove and over the fence for his second home run of the game. Meanwhile, the Astros got swept by the Royals, the lowly Royals. So the standings now show the Rangers in first in the AL West by 2.5 over the Astros, 3 over the M's.
Now, the Mariners have lost 10 of 15, but they could still win this division. They get 3 at home against Houston, then they get 4 at home against the Rangers. So we have an actual
stretch,
honest-to-goodness pennant race.
We are running out of show quickly. We got to jump to the finish. The Browns crushed the Titans. The Bills blew out the Commanders. Frank, the bigger deal was?
Browns' defense has been great, but how about Josh Allen and the Bills after we played in week one? That was a good win by them. The Ravens, Vikings, Saints, and Raiders all lost close. What was the most disappointing?
The Saints. They blew a 17-point lead to the Cheeseheads, who were injury-depleted. Come on now. The Texans blew out the Jaguars. You surprised at that?
You know, we've talked a lot about Ohio State quarterbacks. How about C.J. Stroud? 280 yards.
It was good.
Two touchdowns in the game. The Sun upset the Liberty. Game one of the WNBA semis. How concerned should the Liberty be?
When you lose game one, 4 of 7, not so much. 3 of 5, which this is, bigger deal.
Yep.
Last one, 2 Monday night games. Who you got?
I love the way Baker Mayfield has played, but I like the Eagles. Then you got Rams and the Bengals. And right now, we don't know if Joe Burrow is going to play. Cincinnati needs this one.
Joe Burrow alien.
We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. We're allegedly back on ESPN1, the mothership tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, your Sports Center.